I'm in it for the long run. The minutes and the years. I'm in it for the long run. The hours and the days. I'm in it for the long run. The laughter and the tears. I'm in it for the long run, even though you're far away.
Well, hello there. This is Jim Rooney, and I'm back again with this series of programs where we're going through my more than 60-year journey, musical world. And the last couple of programs, I've been talking about my role at the Newport Folk Festival and one of the directors of the festival and also the coordinator of the talent and all the incredible music that we brought to the world there. I also took a job for the Newport Jazz Festival, George Wein's organization. I was going to be a tour manager and stage manager and do various other things for George Wein. But before I did that, in the beginning of 1968, my friend Ralph Rinsler had put me in touch with some people in New Orleans who wanted to put together a jazz festival, and Ralph suggested that I could take that job. So I went down to New Orleans, and needless to say, it was just quite a wonderful experience. I took a little apartment in the French Quarter, and right away I connected with a man named Richard Allen, who ran the jazz archive at Tulane University. And through Richard, I really got into the heart of the music right away. And Richard knew where everybody was playing in New Orleans on any given day. There were christenings, there were baptisms, there were first communions, there were funerals, there were weddings. Every day there was an occasion for music. And of course, that's where the brass bands came in, and they were everywhere all the time. Richard let me know where they were, and we would go and listen and join in the second line and just have a great time. And of course, the biggest one was Dejon's Olympia Brass Band.
We'll put him down now.
Yeah.
We'll put him down now.
Amen.
It's good for him.
Amen.
He was a good timer.
Yeah,
amen.
I know you had some wine.
Yeah.
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 Yeah
they go, the Olympia Brass Band, Dejan's Olympia Brass Band. Didn't he ramble? And of course, after the funeral or whatever, you'd be stopping into a little joint for some red beans and rice. And that's what my day was like. And thanks to Richard Allen. And through Richard, I also met another very influential person, Alan Jaffe. And Alan got the idea to make a space for a lot of the older musicians to play. A lot of them had gotten out of the business, sort of retired in a way. And Alan came up with the idea of the Preservation Hall. And as you probably know, it's still going strong 50 years later. So here's the Preservation Hall Jazz Band playing My Bucket's Got a Hole in It.
Keep a knocking, but you can't come in. You keep a knocking, but you can't.
the Preservation Hall Jazz Band with my buck. It's got a hole in it. Danny Barker was the banjo player in that group and a great historian of New Orleans music as well. And Alan Jaffe, of course, as I mentioned, whose idea it was to put this Preservation Hall together. And all of these people just were so helpful to me and pointing me in all sorts of good directions. And one of them was to the Sonesta Hotel, a pretty fancy upscale hotel right downtown in the quarter. And every night I could go over there. New Orleans, as I discovered, and I should have known this, but I guess I really got to know it when I was there, is a piano town, first and foremost. And, of course, Jelly Roll Morton laid the foundation for so much of this music. And at the Sonesta Hotel, every night, I could go hear a man named Armand Hugg, who had Jelly Roll Morton in his blood. Beautiful ending there. Armand Hugg.
Ooh.
Oh, wait a minute. Somebody got out of hand here. They're just champing at the bit here. As I was saying, that was Armand Hugg playing the Jelly Roll Morton Meilenberg Joys. And I would go see him as often as I could. And I suppose he was in his 70s at this point. I really don't know. But I became a familiar face, and he would talk to me. And one night I said, well, did you ever go on the road? road, Armand. You're take your music out on the road. And he said, well, yes, I went to Biloxi for a weekend gig once, but I had to come home because I was homesick. This is New Orleans to the core. People down there just can't understand why you would want to go anywhere else. You got all the food you want, all the ladies you want, and everybody else, all the love you want, and all the food you want, and all the music you want. So it was just a pleasure to go hear him every night. And another great piano man there is Ellis Marsalis. And, of course, he is the father of quite the tribe of musicians and a great teacher, obviously. I think that's one other thing about New Orleans. They do have such a great sense of their own history and their musical history, and they pass it on. They learn it, they study it, and they pass it on, and it really shows. Here's Ellis Marsalis doing the Duke Ellington tune, The Mooch.
Thank you.
Another beautiful ending there. Ellis Marsalis doing Duke Ellington's The Mooch and putting that New Orleans touch to it. Just a two-handed piano player, that's what I like to call him. It seems that a lot of players from other places don't have that. They don't have that big left hand. The rhythm of the music in New Orleans is just undeniable. One night I was coming home and I was passing this bar in a quarter, and all of a sudden something sounded very familiar coming out the door, and I looked at the picture in the window. It was Clarence Frogman Henry, Ain't Got No Home.
Ooh, ain't got no home. I know place to roam. Ain't got no home, I know face to roam. I'm a lonely boy, I ain't got a home. I got a voice, I love to sing. I sing like a girl, and I sing like a frog. I'm a lonely boy, I ain't got a home.
Clarence Frogman Henry, I got a voice like a girl, I got a voice like a frog, and no wonder he's lonely. So I was just passing by this place, and there he was. New Orleans was like this. And, of course, I could not pass up a chance to go see Fats Domino. And here he is doing Bobby Charles' song, Walking to New Orleans.
This time I'm walking to New Orleans. I'm walking to New Orleans. I'm gonna need to parachute when I get through walking these blues. When I get back to New Orleans, I've got my suitcase in my hand. Ain't that a shame? I'm leaving here today. Yes, I'm going back home to stay. Yes, I'm walking to New Orleans. You used to be my honey, till you spent all my money. No use for you to cry, I see you by and by, 'cause I'm walking to New Orleans. I've got no time for talking, I've got to keep on walking. guess I'm walking to New Orleans. I'm walking to New Orleans. I'm walking to New Orleans.
The fat man there, walking to New Orleans, and he was on a revolving stage in a club with his full band, and it was just amazing. Another great night in New Orleans for me. And as I say, I was working there. I was putting on a jazz festival and helping to put it together. And we had a variety of artists on it. It had Woody Herman and his orchestra, Carmen McRae, but we also had all the older musicians, New Orleans musicians, had Ellis Marsalis, had the Preservation Hall Band, and one of the creators of this festival scored a coup, and he got Louis Armstrong to come back. And Louis Armstrong, you know, I think sometimes we forget what he did as first of all, as a trumpet player, and then as an entertainer. And he brought music and so much joy to people all over the world. And here he was back in his own hometown. And people love him, and he loves them. And it's so clear. So you can't do a show about New Orleans without having him do the Saints.
Cut out now, and for half of everybody, we want to say thanks a million. Here's some of the boys right here for a little bow, so we might as well give it to them. Yes, Billy Kyle, stand up, Billy Kyle, and take a bow there. And now, here's a youngster from, he's a lawyer, Mart Hoybert on bass there. You remember old Peanut Talk on the clarinet right here? Old Tommy Young on the trombone. the Thelma Middleton's coming up about it. Standing Barcelona takes the break, and we all cut out then.
Louis Armstrong there, and the Saints. You might be wondering what you're listening to. Of course, you're listening to Royalton Community Radio, South Royalton, Vermont. My name is Jim Rooney. The program is called In It for the Long Run, and I am in it for the long run, and we're going through my whole musical journey, a series of programs here. And today I'm looking at the time back in 1968 when I had left the Club 47 and I first went down to New Orleans and spent 2 or 3 months down there. Just a fabulous time, and hated to leave. But I did do this jazz festival there. It was an experience for me to put on a show like that. And then I went to work for George Wein, and we had a traveling jazz show that had Cannonball Adderley, Herbie Mann, Gary Burton, Thelonious Monk, and Dionne Warwick. And we were playing big outdoor ballparks like Atlanta Braves Stadium or indoor big arenas. And it was 1968, and Cannonball Adderley had been a big figure in the jazz world, part of Miles Davis's greatest group, as far as I'm concerned, as well as working with John Coltrane, and just a fantastic man. And he had a piano player from Austria named Joe Zawinul, and Joe created this funky soul piece called Mercy, 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 and by goodness, it just took off.
You know, sometimes we're not prepared for adversity. When it happens, sometimes we're caught short. We don't know exactly how to handle it when it comes up. Sometimes we don't know just what to do when adversity takes over. And I have advice for all of us. I got it from our pianist, Joe Zawinul, who wrote this tune. And it sounds like what you're supposed to say when you have that kind of problem. It's called mercy, mercy, mercy.
Yeah.
Mercy, mercy, mercy. Cannonball Adderley with his brother Nat. Joe Zawinul wrote it. He was from a piano player from Austria who came over here. And I helped Joe carry that Fender Rhodes through many a ballpark. A wonderful, wonderful creative guy. And, of course, he went on to his own musical heights. And we also, on this program, on these shows we had that George Wein had put together, we had Herbie Mann, the great flutist, and there's Herbie doing Blues Walk.
Thank you.
Yeah, Herbie Mann there. And as I say, George Wein put these shows together, and it was the summer of 1968. And just to give you a little perspective, of course, on my way home from New Orleans, I was driving in my car, and I got the very, very, very sad news that Martin Luther King had been assassinated. And it's hard to overstate the impact of that on the whole country, really, and not to say the least, the whole black community. And the Vietnam War was heating up. It was a very unsettled summer, and we were playing in these big arenas, and this music that we were bringing out to people seemed to really help them get through this difficult time. But it wasn't just George Wein deserves an awful lot of credit. Some of the halls we were playing had never had integrated audiences, especially like Charlotte, North Carolina, Nashville, Tennessee, Memphis. And they'd had a soul show or they would have country music shows, but our shows were drawing a totally mixed audience, all ages and all colors. And I really can't say enough about George Wein as far as having the courage to put these shows out there and having the confidence that this music would really help the country at this particular time. And he also wasn't just interested in stars. He had taken under his wing the brilliant young vibraphonist Gary Burton. And Gary was on these shows, and so he was getting exposed to a very large audience that otherwise probably never would have heard him. And he, of course, was just brilliant. Here's a tune of his called Walter L. Walter L. was a guitarist in Nashville named Hank Garland, and got injured, and ultimately he couldn't play professionally anymore. But he had played on Gary's earliest records that Chet Atkins produced in Nashville. And this is dedicated to him. And this recording is Gary with the great guitarist Pat Metheny. Thank you. Gary Burton with Pat Metheny and his longtime collaborator and partner Steve Swallow on the bass there, Walter L. Just amazing performance there. And that's what Gary was capable of every night. And there he was playing in these big places to people who probably never heard of him before. And he was just killing them. Another thing that George Wein was very aware of was paying homage and giving credit to the pioneers of music. And in this case, he was honoring Thelonious Monk. And here's another person who wouldn't ordinarily be in these big venues. And it was one of the great honors of my life to be able to spend time with Thelonious, because these places weren't very congenial to a person like him, and I would just help guide him through the labyrinths of these arenas and the ballparks and the dugouts and whatnot. His wife, Nellie, was always with him. A wonderful, wonderful pair of people, and I can't say enough about it, and I love his music. And this is his tribute to his wife, Crepuscule with Nelly. The one and only Thelonious Monk. And as I say, this was certainly one of the great privileges of my life. He was on two tours with us in the summer of 68, 69. So I really got to spend some time with him and his wife, Nellie. And it was he was quite a unique person and a beautiful person. Just a lovely, lovely man. And as I said, the headliner of this show was Dionne Warwick. And at the time, she was just had one hit after another. And she comes from the gospel background. and a whole family of singers in New Jersey, and Thelma Houston and others. And she was doing these shows with a trio. Of course, her records were produced and had, you know, big production on them. But she was able to stand up there and sing with the best of them with a trio. And she was also extremely down to earth. And her mother traveled with her. She would pitch in. She would carry her own bags. She was a trooper. And it was also a great privilege to know her. And we're going to close out this with Do You Know the Way to San Jose?
That never were, are parking cars and pumping gas.
Well, I hate to say it, but
got a lot of space.
We gotta go. And this is Jim Rooney. I'm in it for the long run. That's Dionne Warwick behind me. Thanks for listening. I'll see you next time.